Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips. Today, let's talk census. It was 3800 BCE when the Babylonians took the first known census. The African American slave story begins in late August 1619, when the first 20 and odd Africans were brought ashore at Point Comfort, Virginia. It's fair to say that humans and other primates have been counting and accounting for their numbers well before 1790, the date of the first American census. So, if other primates do it, let's do it. Let's be counted. Return the questionnaire. Call the number. Or easier still, go to www.mycensus2020.gov and click on the Start Questionnaire button. It takes all of 10 minutes. Let's just do it. Article 1, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution enumerates congressional powers. For instance, it defines a congressional term as 2 years. It codifies the minimum age of a congressperson to be 25 years. It notes citizenship requirements, residency requirements, and apportionment. The number of representatives, direct tax allocations, etc. are based on state population. In order to address proportionality, Article 1, Section 2 requires that every person in the United States be counted every 10 years. Simple, but not so easy. The requirement that every person be counted was contentious. The framers had to confront the preeminent American conundrum. What or who were African slaves? If African slaves were property, they would not be counted at all. If they were people, they would have to be counted fully. You see, the Southern slave owners viewed African slaves as property, and they wanted their property counted as people to bolster their political power in Congress. In other words, the Southern slave owner wanted to have their cake and eat it too. The ensuing debate led the framers of the Constitution to the Three-Fifths Compromise. Each slave would equal three-fifths of a person in a state's population count. Quote, "Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union, according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for a term of years, and excluding Indians not taxed, three-fifths of all other persons." Close quote. The language of the framers, though eloquent, failed to mask the dissonant and enduring rationale that Africans are less than human. Some 80 years later, on July 9, 1868, Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, which repealed the three-fifths rule, was passed. Today we talk Census 2020, and it's impossible to talk about the census without talking about apportionment and its links back to the Three-Fifths Compromise. Notwithstanding the repeal of the compromise, we still see governmental acts like gerrymandering, voter suppression, and attempts to undercount marginalized populations. Modern-day attempts to restrict and manipulate how and who are counted by the census is a throwback to the Three-Fifths Compromise. But it's in our hands this time. Be counted. So here, Here's some novel math. Between 1788 and 1868, an American slave owner with 10 African slaves was legally allowed to report a maximum of 6 of the 10 slaves he owned. That was the three-fifths compromise. Or today's equivalent of a census response rate of 60%. Today, if our inaction leads to a less than 60% census participation rate, guess what? We are voluntarily breeding life into a new version of the three-fifths compromise. A compromise that settled a kinfolk quarrel in the late 1780s. So let's get our pens, our pencils, notepads, our smartphones, and tablets out. Our guests will provide heaps of information for you to use and for you to share. Remember, other primates do it. So we should do it too. Go to www.mycensus2020.gov and click on the Start Questionnaire button. It takes all of 10 minutes. Let's just do it. Let's talk Census 2020. We'll be right back with the conversation. You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips. So today we have on the line with us Mimi Pierre Johnson. Mimi Pierre Johnson is an Elmont resident and has been so for quite some time. I'll let her tell you how long she's been an Elmont resident. What I know of Mimi Pierre Johnson is that she is engaged. Mimi Pierre Johnson ran for public office. Mimi Pierre Johnson is currently a member of the Elmont Public Library Board, and so she has a function in the community that is indeed education-based. In addition to all of that, and I don't know where she gets the energy from, Mimi Pierre Johnson runs a nonprofit, a cultural center, and we'll let her tell us more about that as we progress through this conversation. Most importantly today for us on the podcast is that we are asking Mimi Pierre Johnson, who is spearheading the Census 2020 effort in this community, and we would like her to tell us a number of things. Number one, why should we participate in the census? Number two, what's our participation rates in the census? All of these things and more. So without further ado, Mimi Pierre Johnson, welcome to the Elmont Online Podcast.
Hello, Mr. Phillips.
I love it.
Thank you for having me on. I really love your podcast, by the way.
Well, thank you, Mimi, and you're going to help make that podcast even better today. As you heard in our introduction, we're talking today about census and what it means broadly, but specifically, let's start with the Elmont and its surrounding areas. How are we doing with regard to our response rates?
Sure. So far, well, let's put it this way. Nassau County right now is doing really well. There are still some pockets that need extra push, and of course it's our Black and brown communities. But overall, we're doing much better than 10 years ago.
Wonderful.
We've passed the 50% mark. We're in the 60s now, percentage-wise. So that makes me very happy.
Good. When you say that we are doing better than 10 years ago, I want you to really focus in a little bit on the fact that even though we're doing better than we were doing 10 years ago, that we shouldn't take that as leverage or as an invitation to relax. We really need to push. So tell us a little bit about why it is that even though we're doing better, we must do even better.
Absolutely. It's rewarding to know that there are people who have taken this census so serious that they're telling their friends and family to fill out the census. And that's reflecting in the response when you're looking at the overall response map. One of the things that the Census Bureau did this year is that you can actually see the response daily. So that helps us in the work that we're doing so that we can actually pinpoint where the responses are low. However, I agree with you that that should not mean, oh, okay, so the census is great, we don't have to answer, because it's just the beginning. See, we may not have understood 10 years ago how important it is, but in today's society, you see what's going on overtly. Like, COVID has magnified what we've already known.
Correct.
But at least now, with a larger response to the census, we now have a tool that we could leverage how many of us live in a community. So when we fight for the resources that we need and the resources that should have been part of our community. But the crutch that was always used was, well, you know, we don't have the numbers.
Mm.
And so I feel that this is a stepping stone to the work that's going to happen and the work that needs to be done in our community.
I see. I'm going to take not a detour, but I want to talk a little bit about the importance of the census from the point of view of representation. So let's mm-hmm. step away for a minute from the specifics of how many people have responded. And let's mm-hmm. talk more broadly about why we do the census every 10 years and how it affects representation locally and at the federal level.
I'm originally from Haiti. You know, mm-hmm. I've lived here all my life, but I've always kept a very tight relationship with the Haitian community. So when I think about immigration, for example, it's dear to my heart because I know some of the stories that hardworking people are facing here when it comes to immigration policies and all that good stuff.
Correct.
So on the federal level, I always say to the Haitian community, if they don't know that you're here, you make my job and all of us who fight for immigration rights even harder because we don't have the numbers, right?
Right.
And in here, when I think, I mean, Aubrey, we were in this fight together years ago.
Absolutely.
When I think about what they did to our productive and enthusiasm and everything that's good with our system here when it comes to voting and when it comes to representation, we had such a great fight. Everybody was in it, whether you were running for office or whether you were helping in a campaign. It didn't really matter which side, which political party you belonged to. It was just awesome to see a predominantly Black community be so involved in civic and working.
Right.
And with the census, you know, next year it's going to be that redistricting fight.
Absolutely.
And that slap in the face for a community that is so vibrant in civics, them to redistrict us, right?
Correct.
And when you look at, for example, our consulmatic seats, what do we have in common when it comes to our communities, our way of life, mm-hmm. from here to Wantagh Parkway?
Let's pause for a second because I want to make sure for those people who are listening that are not in our community, when you say from here, meaning from the very, very mm-hmm. western end of Nassau County, our councilmatic district extends probably, I think it's 14 miles or 15 mm-hmm. miles east of us to a community mm-hmm. that's Wantagh. So I just want to put some geographic context to what you're yeah. saying. So continue.
So when you think about it, and then when you look at this big horseshoe, right, mm-hmm. design from what you just said, there is the needs and the representation that should be on the South Shore and the North Shore are two different things.
Correct.
And so when you have one council person that takes care from here to the North, and then one council person from here to the South, when you take a look at the differences in the resources of each town, you say to yourself, well, something is not right. Well, I think what's not right is that we don't have enough representation.
Right.
And so it goes back to the census because of the way that we were counted or miscounted or we didn't get involved. And I think that's the thing when I look at it, I'm like, you know, there's so many of us that has been fighting for a long time for the things that we need for our community.
Correct.
And it's nothing that anybody else that has it, right? Like if you look at Manhasset Hills or if you look at closest to us, Garden City, or even Stewart Manor,
mm-hmm.
It's not a matter that, oh, I want to be like them, or I want my community. No, I love my community and the flavor of our diversity, from the Caribbean to all over. Mm-hmm. We have everything. And I think when we talk about the census and redistricting, when we don't get involved in it, we allow people to take away what the best part of us that can be. So that's why I had to do this.
Right. Obviously, I'm deeply familiar with your efforts and what we did 10 years ago. Just to bring this home to people, I'm going to recall something that you may not want to even discuss, and it's this. I remember that during the last census, I remember them literally drawing your home out of one Senate district and into another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how specific the census and who draws those lines can get. It can actually be punitive. So in my community of Elmont, our community of Elmont, they drew the Senate district lines down the center of Elmont Road.
Mm-hmm.
And to the west of Elmont Road are a deeply dark population of people. Mm-hmm. And to the east of Elmont Road is a more sort of mixture of people, a more diverse, if you want to call it that, even though I don't really think of it in that sense. But they did that deliberately, and they did it for two reasons. Number one, they had some control, meaning, and when I say they, the Republican Party who drew these lines, had mm-hmm. some control over that side of the community. And they had very little control over west of Elmont Road. And then secondly, they were literally drawing you as a person into a district that if you ran for office, you were unlikely to win.
That's right.
They did that to a person with census lines. And mm-hmm. I don't want us to not have some real on the ground facts about mm-hmm. how the district lines are drawn
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it relates to the number of people that respond to this census.
Exactly.
So I want us to be clear on that.
Yeah, and you know, Aubrey, the most egregious and the feeling when I saw that map,
mm-hmm.
I no longer can tell my neighbors across the street from me to put a lawn sign with the same senator or the same. It's bizarre. And, you know, I used to laugh because sometimes you have to laugh instead of crying.
Of course.
Is when these campaign helpers are looking at their list, and they seem so confused because they're looking for Senate Bernie.
Nine and seven.
And they're looking, and they would stand in the middle of the street. And I'll never forget these group of boys. I walk over to them. I said, I know, guys, you're very confused. Let me tell you a little story.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so this is seven, and on my side is nine.
Right.
And they just their heads, and you know, they couldn't understand. But this is the kind of things that happen.
Absolutely. Us. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips.
Every 10 years, the census comes along, and it seems like everyone I know always asks the same two questions. What is the census, and why does it even matter? Let me give it to you straight. The census counts every single person living in America. An accurate count of our community tells us where there are more people, and where there are more people, there are more needs. Our participation could impact how public funding flows to our schools, health clinics, senior care, job training, and housing. It even determines our congressional representation. I don't know about you, but it sure sounds like the census matters to me. This year, take a little time for the 2020 census. You can complete it online, by phone, or by mail, and make sure you count everybody you live with. Your mama, daddy, sweetheart, babies, roommates, everyone. This chance only comes every 10 years, so let's step up and be counted.
Shape your future. start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
So let's go back to some of the census numbers. We had a meeting several weeks ago, and you had described, at least for Elmont, where the responses were okay, where the responses were low. And So because this is the Elmont Online podcast, could you give us some idea as to where we need to focus our efforts with regard to getting people to respond to the census in the Elmont community?
Sure. So when you look at the census map, the response map, for some reason, and now that we're relaxing, we can go out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I will be going to those houses. But there are 26 streets. I counted about 26 streets right off of Hempstead Turnpike. If you're familiar with Elmont, these houses are behind the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I got you.
So we're talking
about the Gotham Avenue area, essentially.
So there are, when you go toward Elmont Memorial, That area is good. I wonder why, I'll agree.
I live there.
But if you're looking at the map, all of those houses, and I know there's a little bit of history off of Elmont Road and right across from the cemetery.
Right.
Beth Davis Cemetery on Elmont Road. So if you were to make a square from Hoffman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Going towards 3rd Street.
Okay.
And making a right on Fieldmere.
Okay.
And going down Hempstead Turnpike. So if you were to make a square, now I know many of those streets are, even when we were knocking on doors there, you know, there's a circle, you get lost there.
Correct.
But if you were to make a square in that area, and you're looking at the businesses there, just so you would know where these houses are, It would be directly behind the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
And all those stores.
Right.
Going to where the senior citizen home is, the 99-cent store.
Mm-hmm.
So that particular area, right?
Right.
Okay. I believe in just all the research and the work that we've been doing, it's because of the immigrant population is a large one that lives there may not know. So That's, you know, more of an education that has to be done. Because I know they've received postcards that I mailed out.
Okay.
So now there's going to have to be like a door-to-door kind of thing.
Okay.
And then in the middle of that, well, we can't count Beth Davis. But right off of Hempstead Turnpike, where you have streets like School Road, there are a couple of businesses, But the house is directly behind there. So we're talking about Atherton and Estelle, and, you know, those are okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But, yeah, these are fine. I'm just trying to see the area. But when you get to Hill Avenue, So Hill Avenue, Wern's Place, and if you... Let me see, South Covert Avenue, anything south of Hempstead Turnpike.
I see.
There's 26 or so. So you're talking about Oakley, Kirkman, Keller, James. Post Avenue, Sun Avenue, and then the Letter Street going down Meacham Avenue.
Okay.
So you're talking about from Evans Avenue all the way to First Street. So as you go through the street names, you know, all those newspaper posts.
Right. The newspaper row, as they called it, I think it was. Yes.
And then right after that are the number, the letters.
The letter streets.
You have A, B, C, D, E, all the way. Those are still in the 40% response. So they haven't even crossed over to the 50% like everyone else in Elmont.
The reason I wanted you to be specific about where in Elmont we have to focus our efforts is I'm hoping that whoever is listening to this podcast, if you live within those boundaries, you may help me out by knocking on a door or calling a neighbor and saying, hey, listen, I hope you've responded. So Mimi, in order for them to do that, give us two or three things that can happen. For instance, I know that you can do this online, so you can tell us exactly how we would do that, etc.
Sure. The first thing right now, because of COVID-19, we are able this year for the first time to be able to do this online, right? We usually you'd have to receive an application and that's how you do it. So, and you can call now. Mm-hmm. So if you go on 2020census.gov,
okay,
that page, as soon as you go on there, there's a button that says response.
Right.
Start here, response. So you can do it. Because I feel those particular areas that is in Elma, especially off of Meacham,
mm-hmm.
there is an older population that's there. So I'm thinking maybe they don't have, you know, to go on the computer.
Right.
So the other thing to do is to make a phone call. So the thing that I love about this also is that you can respond in different languages.
Okay.
So there's a drop down. Of course, it's English, Spanish, but there's so many. There's
right.
French, and there's so many languages that you can choose to respond. So what's going to happen, though, now it's the perfect time to do this because we're all at home, and it's easy to go on a computer. Many of us that the census already knows, we have Wi-Fi, and we could do it on the computer, receive an invitation that has an ID on it. You go online, you put that on, and you respond. If you do not have that, you can also just go on there and say you don't have it, and then you put your information in there. The other thing that's really important that we did not do in 2010, and for those of us who care so much about our taxes and our schools that we fund our public schools, many people forgot to include their children. So you have to, from infant to a, you know, senior, we have to count everyone. So we have to remind each other, did you remember to count your children? Did you remember to count the seniors? If you have seniors that live in Florida or, you know, other countries and then comes back, if they are here right now, you have to count them. Because our tax dollars, our funding, all of this, it's for those people that are in your house. And I say that, Aubrey, I make phone calls to people. And it was an interesting conversation I had with someone on the phone that told me, I pay all the taxes in the house. Why should I count them? Oh, my God. So he felt that it would be a reward to someone else that are not paying the taxes if he counted them.
Yes, that is mysterious. I can't even talk on that issue. Let me drop this into the conversation right now. That number that you're referring to, Mimi, is 844-330-2020.
That's right. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So we've got the number out, and that's the number that you call if, for instance, you don't have access to the kind of computer technology that would be required to sort of fill this in online.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. I think one of the successes, and I'm going to say success because I have to think that way, with the response is education. But mostly to make it tangible for people. We think about the census as something, oh, the Bureau does, the government does, but we don't realize our governments here need money, more of our taxes. So how do they get that? Well, they get it by the number of people that live in our state. Well, how do they get the numbers? Well, they get it from the census. And who gets it? It's the federal level. It's like, wait, so if I'm not counted, then the federal government doesn't know how many people are there. So when the governor gets money from the federal state, oh, I don't get that money.
Right.
But the problem is the services has to continue. So someone else is paying for you not answering the census. And you know, it's fascinating to me, the more I learn about all of the things that the census does, that our community never thought about it that way. And I'll give you this one, too.
Mm-hmm.
So someone calls on these calls, and somehow a community, I won't even say who, that's very well counted, they're already in their 80%, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somehow their phone number got into our hard-to-count list. And the young lady answers the phone. I'm like, hey, you know, this is Mimi calling on the census, so forth, in my little spiel. And she says, I've already filled out my census. I need those resources for my community.
Ah.
And it was like, what? Like, what? There was no, I'm like, well, okay, I don't even have to tell you. Well, but, you know, just in case, please remember to tell your friends and family. But that's how targeted and how this is how important it is, and strategic.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
they're
yes.
strategic. We When it comes to the census and voting, we cannot blame anyone for the lack of things that we get in our community, that we have in our community. What we have to blame is the system that we refuse to change, and that's because that's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show, yes.
That's a whole other show. But we, you know, those are, to me, those are the two things that we absolutely have to do in order to make changes in our community.
You have questions about the 2020 census, and we have answers. Let's go to caller number one.
Well, what is it?
Good question. It's a simple questionnaire that counts everyone living at your address on April 1st. Next caller?
So why should I take it?
Because it guides how billions in funding gets used each year for things like clinics, fire stations, public transit, and so much more. Caller 3, go ahead.
What's it have to do with representation?
Well, your state's population determines the number of seats it has in the U.S. House of Representatives for the next 10 years. Next?
How do you take it?
Just look for an invitation in the mail starting March 2020, then complete it online, by phone, or by mail. Let's go to our final caller.
Is my information safe?
Yes, it can't be shared with anyone. It's the law. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to shape your future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov.
You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips. Are you thinking of ways that we can maybe have a virtual, maybe census day? I'd be willing to participate in something like that. And the reason I say it this way is, wouldn't it be great if we can put together maybe a virtual meeting of some sort with key stakeholders, maybe civic leaders and that kind of thing. And we walk them through the steps that they can take. If you have an online, if you can do it online, here is what you do. Here's the phone number. And if you have to mail it in, here is the information that you need. I am thinking that we really need to redouble our efforts to get to those pockets, as you've just described, in our community.
Absolutely. You tell me when and I'll be there.
Okay. Well, then we will definitely be arranging some way of reaching these communities.
You're the tech guy. I'm not. My children tell me that, look at the boomer trying to figure something out. So
well, listen, I have to say, you know, as I watch those people that refer to us as boomers now, as I watch them, you know, take matters into their own hand, they have done us, they have done us proud. So kudos to our offspring. Who seem to be serious about making substantive change in this nation and in this world. So kudos to them.
That's right. They're amazing. I just look at them like, oh my God, they're amazing.
Absolutely. Mimi, we want to go over a couple of things. I'm on the website, the census website. The languages we have, we understand how they can do it in several languages. They give us instruction on how to do respond online. So even if you even if you're sort of unfamiliar with it, what I like about this little website is the fact that it seems fairly easy to navigate.
Yeah, it is.
It seems very easy to navigate. I want to make sure that we mention the phone number again, because it appears as though that those pockets may actually have some handicap as it relates to technology. So we want to make sure that we mention that to fill out your census by phone. It's 844-330-2020. Let's get done. Okay?
That's right.
So you want to do that.
Thank you for that.
On that page, there are also other websites for different languages. So if you speak Spanish, it's 844-468-2020. And can you imagine how crazy that sounds to my readers? Because I'm talking about Spanish and I'm speaking in English.
That's right.
So we're gonna need to get some people on here who can translate this. But I'm looking at the number of languages we have: Mandarin and Cantonese and Vietnamese and Korean, Russian, Arabic, Tagalog, Polish, French, Haitian, Creole, Portuguese, and Japanese. And each of those languages have a different phone number that you can call. So we want to make sure that people know that they can call any number of languages, and I'm going to actually post that up on the Elmont website, even though there is a link on the Elmont website to this web, to this census page.
Yeah. It's a fantastic website. I have to say, the Bureau and many people who worked on the census prior to this year does not have the same type of funding that used to be with the Census Bureau. But they have done a fantastic job, at least on their website,
yes,
that you can virtually everything that you need to know about the census. And then if you want to, you know, just help other people to understand the census, there's plenty of videos and graphics. It's just awesome. It's an awesome, awesome tool to use in order to just to encourage people to get involved in the census.
So as we talk about this, I want to make sure that we reiterate and lay emphasis on a couple of things. So I want to make sure that we are speaking to who can fill out the census.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Everyone.
Anyone, regardless of immigration status.
That's right.
Right? Everyone.
Everyone can. And I also, if I can.
Go ahead.
We have a law in place that they cannot shake that law. So, you know, the Census Bureau has gone to court time and time again to make sure that this stays put. So Title 13, which is the law that mm-hmm. requires that no one can share your private information. Yeah, they can share the number of people that lives in that house, you know, just your name and things of that nature, but not your social security, not your immigration status. None of those vital information can be shared. And that is for 75 years.
Okay.
And
so pause for a second. So from the date, sure. from the date that you get in contact with the Census Bureau,
mm-hmm.
for 75 years into the future,
mm-hmm.
your information has to remain private.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And it gets better. So when the census takers or anyone who's, you know, getting your vital information, right, if they were to share that, let's say with motor vehicles or the police or immigration and all this, that if they do share it, it is a penalty of $250,000 and 5 years in prison.
Ah.
So
and that's for the person that shares it, not for the person,
right.
not for you, the person attempting to fill out the census.
Right.
Absolutely.
So it's the person that has your information and they share it. So like if someone working for the, you know, the Census Bureau is taking that, you know, those information and then they want to share it with ICE, let's say,
mm-hmm.
well, that's a problem. And that person will be fined $250,000 and in prison for 5 years. So the Census Bureau takes that privacy part of the census process very serious. So and that is a protection for our immigrant, you know, population or people who are scared that their information will be out there. So, you know, the government is only interested in those numbers. Mm. That's what this is all for, the numbers.
Right. Mimi, is there anything that we haven't discussed as it relates to the practical issues of taking the census that you would like to add to this conversation as we come to a close?
Just, I think everyone just needs to share it. Share that you must fill out your census. Tell everyone that you know, regardless of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is in the hospital, you know, just share it, because when they come out of the hospital, they're going to need health care, right? And that's all part of it. There's so many things that's connected to those numbers from the census that we don't know. You know, we don't have the time to really explain it to people how vital this information is. And it's not something that is, okay, this is important that I like to tell people. But it's not something that you're going to see overnight. You're not going to fill out your census and give the numbers, and the next day things are going to change. But what the census does for us, or you're all about the schools and the funding and all of these things, when we don't fill out our census and our communities are not well counted, it is harder for people like us who are on the ground. And because of that, it takes us longer to bridge those inequalities that we see between communities.
Right.
And that's why I always say it's so important for us to take part in the census and voting, because those are the two things that we can actually have as a tool so that we can say, hey, here's the data. Here's the data.
Mm-hmm.
So that is on our shoulders. So that's the gravity of this. It's so, so, so important.
Absolutely. Mimi Pierre Johnson, as we close, I'm going to point out two things that are happening in the Elmont community, but that are happening broader across the country. Number one, where we find the lowest response rates are those places that are often subjected to government action that harms that population, or government inaction. And that government inaction harms that population. So please, if you, in Elmont, for instance, one of the lowest responding rates areas is across the street from Belmont Park.
Mm-hmm.
And at Belmont Park, there is a project occurring right now. And many of them don't even know what's happening right across the street from them. So please fill out the census, because this mm-hmm. is another way of making sure that your voice is heard. Secondly, regardless of where you are, we want to make sure that even though we have told you that there are laws against the sharing of information, etc., we want to make sure that you don't fall prey to the hype and what appears to be in the public airwave, you know, where at the federal level maybe some people are asking or hoping that the reporting of your information goes to ICE, for instance. And we want to make sure that you know, we're going to reiterate that your census data will not be shared with any law enforcement agencies or any other government agency for at least 75 years, because that is the law. Your census data is your census data, and it only serves to better your representation, and it serves to bring resources to the communities that actually fill them out. Did I say that incorrectly? And if I did, Mimi, you will have the last word by saying yes or no and correcting me.
Oh, come on, Aubrey, you know you're right.
Okay.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Mimi, it was my pleasure having you on the Elmont Online podcast, and I look forward to working with you even more on this census as we move closer and closer to that deadline. When is the deadline, Mimi? Could you tell us?
August 24th.
August 24th. So all of this must be done by August 24th. So between now and then, if you live in the Elmont community, you may be getting a phone call. If you haven't filled out your census, you may be getting a phone call from Mimi or one of her team. And by the way, for those of you that are not in the Elmont community, you need to get in touch with those people in your community that are actually working with the census. And if you don't have an easy way of doing that, just go to the, which is 2020census.gov. Go to 2020census.gov. Doesn't matter where in the United States you are, if you go to 2020census.gov, you will be able to participate in this year's census and know that regardless, again, wherever you are, the census is important to you. It determines who you vote for, who you can vote for. It determines what districts you're in. It determines what your representation will or will not be in Washington and locally. Mimi, thanks again for being a part of the Elmont Online podcast.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
The Elmont Online podcast is brought to you by www.elmont.org, where residents go for cutting-edge commentary, real-time news feeds, and more. Elmont.org, building a stronger community since 1999. Thank you for listening. Between now and the next time we meet, be safe. I'm Aubrey Phillips.